Earlier this week, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis held a press conference.
It was almost like it was a political rally, not a typical governor's press conference.
That's Gary Finau, a Politico reporter based in Tallahassee, who watched as DeSantis stood in front of a cheering crowd and announced that he plans to fine local governments in the state thousands of dollars if they require employees to be vaccinated.
If a government agency in the state of Florida forces a vaccine as a condition to employment, that violates Florida law, and you will face...
Now, the anti-mandate presser wasn't exactly surprising to Gary. It's in line with what DeSantis has been pushing for weeks. But something else happened that day that did. DeSantis invited a couple workers who were opposed to vaccine mandates to also talk during the presser.
And one of the people said that it changes your RNA.
A conspiracy theory being espoused by a guy standing at a podium with the state seal on it, directly next to the governor.
The vaccine changes your RNA, so for me, that's a problem.
RNA vaccines do not interact with your RNA or DNA at all, but DeSantis didn't correct him. In fact, he just went on to shake the guy's hand as the crowd cheered.
Thank you, Governor.
And this caught everyone by surprise in terms of, you know, Ron DeSantis, who has been a strong supporter of vaccines, finds himself getting more and more aligned with anti-vaxxers.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, Gary Finau on how and why Ron DeSantis has gone from vaccine spokesman to conspiracy theory bystander. Before we go any further, I just want to ask, why is this important? Like, why should we care nationally about DeSantis and what he says and doesn't when it comes to COVID?
Because I think that Ron DeSantis right now, barring Trump running again, I think that DeSantis is clearly the front runner for 2024. I think all the polls show that. They show that he has gotten a lot of national attention. He's on Fox News constantly. He's been ostensibly raising money for his reelection campaign, but he's been hitting a lot of states. He was in Nebraska this past weekend. He's been to California. He's been to Wisconsin. He's been to Pennsylvania. He's become a hot ticket. I mean, a lot of Republicans across the country are viewing him as a potential heir to Trump. So what happens in Florida, which is also the third largest state in the nation, it could have ramifications well into 2024 if DeSantis remains his position as a presumed frontrunner and challenger to Biden.
So let's talk about DeSantis's kind of transformation here, because you mentioned the surprise you felt when he stood shoulder to shoulder with someone telling lies about vaccines at an anti-vaccine mandate announcement earlier this week. How have we seen DeSantis transform on this?
So the beginning of this year, the governor was gung-ho about vaccines. He was even at the White House for an event on Operation Warp Speed last winter. Went to the White House and talked to the White House about the vaccine distribution.
I would always tell my folks, we hope we get a vaccine, but you should definitely not count on it because it's ambitious. It hasn't happened before. So the fact that it is, that's a great testament to Operation Warp Speed and all the work that so many people have done. So we couldn't, as soon as the Pfizer news came out, I flew up and met with you at Warp Speed, and I told my folks, we already been planning for it, but I was like, we got a better sense of the timeline. Let's make sure that we're leading from the front. We really wanted to embrace this. I know other...
And then he held all these events across the state. They set up pop-up clinics. So he was very much promoting the vaccine, especially among the elderly, which is a large contingent of the population in Florida.
The best thing you can do if you haven't gotten the vaccine, particularly if you're somebody who's older, particularly if you have any health problems, is to get a shot.
So it is an interesting split screen here to have him going from this position where he was like encouraging people to get vaccines, doing all these efforts to get vaccines, to where he's at an event where people are now raising conspiracy theories about vaccines.
What's behind that shift on vaccines?
Well, his administration and the people around him say that basically he's not opposed to vaccines. And let's be clear to point out, he has gotten vaccinated. And he has not really said anything negative about the vaccines. He's diluted the message.
Fortunately, the state of Florida passed a law this most recent legislative session that did a lot of different things. It prevented private businesses from requiring proof of vaccination to just do normal things like go to a movie or go to a restaurant, vaccine passports. But that also applied to government agencies. And so
he has kind of de-emphasized it. He started to say things like, you know, well, the vaccines haven't worked out the way we thought they would in terms of creating herd immunity.
I think we had assumed that it would provide more sterilizing immunity. And so the positive tests, and people are like, well, why is this happening? I was vaccinated. It shouldn't happen. And all I can tell you is what the data we see and the hospitals we talk to all point that this is helping reduce dramatically mortality, particularly.
Or he's talked about breakthrough infections and things of that nature. So again, he's not said anything completely anti, but it's still been an evolution. And so the question is, well, what caused this evolution? Is it because there is an element within the Republican base that is skeptical of vaccines? Is it because former President Donald Trump got booed when he mentioned vaccines at a recent rally in Alabama?
I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines. But you got, no, that's okay. That's all right. You got your freedoms.
His administration insists, no, he's anti-mandate. He's not anti-vaccine. But it's been an interesting juxtaposition from where we were at the start of the year till now.
I guess I'm wondering, though, like with talking about breakthroughs, of course, that makes sense. And as an observer with the anti-mandate stances, you can see how the politics of that can totally make sense, especially when you consider people you might be trying to win the support of as a future presidential contender, appealing to, I mean, notions of choice with it. But misinformation is a totally different beast, right? When it comes to a deadly pandemic, like how do you, as a reporter, parse the difference between politics and the dangers of conspiracies when it's a governor standing side by side with someone talking about conspiracies?
Well, I mean, I did want to point out that he was asked about this on Tuesday. And then on Tuesday, he said, well, I don't remember the person saying that.
And this is a guy he stood right next to talking at his press conference.
Right. And then he said, and it was something I would never say. I mean, when he's been asked about vaccines, he's said, well, you know, I did 50 plus events at the beginning of the year promoting vaccines. But again, I mean, it's just, I know that we quote a health expert in our story that says this mixed messaging can cause problems because you can create doubt and anxiety among people when you do not seem to be as strong on message as you once were.
Hmm. So public health-wise, why is that so important in Florida right now? What is the COVID situation there?
Well, what you have is a situation where the Delta variant may have gone on longer and caused more illnesses and deaths than maybe the administration was anticipating. When the Delta variant first began to affect Floridians, the governor said that it was a wave like the wave that they had in the summer of 2020, and that he expected it to start to diminish in August, like it had the previous year. And that's not really what happened. And in fact, Florida reached record highs in terms of the numbers of infections and in terms of the number of hospitalizations. It's hard to get a complete snapshot of the situation with fatalities, but suffice to say, roughly 10,000 people have been added to the total tally for deaths since late July. And that's about 20% of Florida's overall death total. And clearly, there are some dynamics here. I mean, you have the hospitals have reported that a lot of the people who were, in fact, showing up were unvaccinated. Now, what we've seen is it appears that maybe a crest has been reached. Cases are beginning to go down. Hospitalizations are beginning to go down. And that's happened within the last 1 to 2 weeks. So maybe the rough patch is over. But still, it's sort of like you have all these health experts who say, look, we're just afraid that it will happen again unless more people get vaccinated.
Gary Fineout. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, no problem.
Gary Fineout authors Politico's Florida Playbook newsletter. You can find that at politico.com/newsletters or in this episode's show notes. Also, today, Moderna says it's asking the FDA to allow its COVID-19 booster shot under emergency use authorization rather than full approval, the route chosen by fellow vaccine makers Pfizer and BioNTech. The decision could speed the FDA's decision on the Moderna booster, since the agency has authorized but not fully approved initial vaccination with the company's shot. Moderna released data on Wednesday showing its booster minimizes chances of a breakthrough infection. The Biden administration has said it wants to begin rolling out boosters by next week. And Senator Amy Klobuchar is insisting that Congress has the bipartisan support to pass legislation aimed at reining in big tech companies. In an interview on Wednesday during Politico's Tech Summit, the Judiciary Antitrust Subcommittee chair said, quote, "There's bipartisan support to move, and time is ticking." Klobuchar, along with Senators Richard Blumenthal and Marsha Blackburn, introduced a bill last month that aims to bring more competition to the App Store market, dominated by Apple and Google. But progress on antitrust legislation has slowed as lawmakers tackle other pressing priorities. Today's episode of Politico Dispatch included music composed by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like what you're hearing and want to help us out, tell a friend to check out the show. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.